Welcome to today's podcast, Building Connections. And with me today is Menno Lammers, founder of PropTech for Good. Right. So Menno, can you tell us a little bit of what's PropTech, what it's about?
So thanks for having me, of course. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah. Me too.
So PropTech is about, PropTech for Good is about property, technology, and for good.
Yeah.
So that means that we started a movement 3 years ago.
Yes.
With the idea, okay, how can we contribute from the property industry on a positive way to the sustainable development goals?
Yeah.
And can be technology a lever in that built environment to achieve those goals? So I see property and technology as two tools to do something for good.
So actually you with your movement, you basically you live in between technology, in between buildings. What kind of technologies or what kind of approaches do you have in this? How does it materialize?
Yeah. So we always start with a societal challenge in that way. So if we talk about healthy buildings, for example, or a healthy environment, then the question is, of course, what is a healthy environment?
Right.
The HWO said, okay, 99% of air quality is below a certain level.
Yeah.
Hey, how can the built environment influence that indoor air quality or outdoor air quality to create that a more natural environment, so we have a better air quality, for example.
Right.
So one of the things, of course, you can imagine that you can measure the indoor air quality, for example, in a building. But sometimes it's also very complicated because if we want to reduce energy, which is also good for the climate.
Yes.
And you close everything, people can get sick. For example, or the temperature, you lower the temperature, then the productivity will decrease, or you get the black spots on the wall.
Right.
So you also have to balance that. And that's very exciting. I always say we have to be aware about the externalities by using a technology.
Right.
Because everything is connected.
Right.
So with PropTech for Good, we make that movement. We were working together with 40 PropTech associations.
Yes.
Most of them drive the digital transformation in the real estate industry.
Yeah.
For me, I was always missing something because for me, digital transformation is not the bigger purpose. I think we have to use technology for a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
We're working together with some companies, also a growing network. From Canada and Denmark and Belgium, so you can join us in that way.
Yeah.
But also working with network partners and media partners. So, for example, a company like Cretec, which is really a top-notch event organizer, addressing the climate, good content, you know, and helping them also to send that message.
Right. So. By this example that you gave on internal building health and well-being and relate to the external, it seems like your definition of climate is both inside but also outside buildings. So you need to basically balance the kind of thing. If you have a gas-heated building and you put down the temperature, it's probably not so well for the insides, but it's better for the outside, so to say. So... because you said PropTech for good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do you define good?
Yeah, that's a good question, of course. You know, the original idea was, okay, let's work on the sustainable development goals.
Yeah.
Those 17 goals are great topics to work on.
Yeah.
We can discuss them if they're wrong or right, or if the ambition is high enough and that kind of things. I think we still can go beyond the sustainable development goals. But I think it's a good starting point to bridge something. So to explain it very simple in that way, we're now in a system which is going down. It's a degenerative system. We have to consume and produce, and we see the planet as a resource instead of a source.
Yeah.
If we want to go to regenerative, we have to bridge that. We bridge that with sustainability, doing less harm.
Yeah.
But in the current, the regenerative movement is also there. So for good is at least doing less harm.
Yeah.
And do something for good. And of course, it's very complicated because everything is connected.
Right.
So for example, if we look at the climate, because it's a big topic, of course, also with the net zero. But we have a net zero tunnel vision in that way. Everything is related to net zero, to reduce energy and reduce CO2. You have the same with the ESG topic.
Yeah.
We talk about ESG. It's very,
wide umbrella, actually.
Wide umbrella. But before we know, we only talk about the E and about energy and carbon because we can measure that. It's a Paris Agreement. It's very important. But then you have that tunnel vision because it's only that. But if you look at climate, it's also about biodiversity. It's about the water. It's the life on land, the life on sea. But we're so focused on that small...
That one element, you mean.
Yeah, part of the puzzle in that way. We emission. Have to see it on a broader perspective. At the other hand, if everybody sees it very broad, then nothing will happen.
Yeah.
So that's also the challenge, to find the right people and also accept. And that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges right now is to create that mindset.
Right.
To see the connections.
Yeah.
But also to develop, for example, your software or your building, which is more holistic than just like four walls and a roof.
Yeah.
And that's it. And maybe after we can put some intelligence in it and maybe we can put a tree, but that's not the case.
It's not going to help you bridge that thing. Because you said something interesting. You talked about regenerative. Mm-hmm. To your point, of course, we're now focused, many of us, and actually I think at Planon, we are also focused on that in helping clients to reduce their emission profiles. Mm-hmm. To your point, you have to start somewhere, but then you add regenerative to it. Now, can you explain a little bit your view on what this regenerative component is about and what kind of parties or organizations or technologies you see in that realm?
Yeah. So when you look at degenerative, it's more like we are above everything. Nature, the planet, we take care as human beings. We can make everything. It's the mechanical way of thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I call it the Silicon Valley doctrine. Everything, technology will create world peace and that kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe that because it's very digital oriented. And I think we have to broaden our definition of technology also with nature. And when you look at regeneration, it means you are part of nature and you're creating abundance. Now it's all about scarcity.
Yeah.
But how can we create something which is abundance? And if we can think that we are part of nature, because we are, at the end.
Yes, we are.
We have to reconnect people with nature again. We have to connect men and women again. We have to connect our left and our right brain, because we are very focused on, we want to measure everything.
Yeah.
But that's our educational system.
Yeah.
But we also have to use, we have to let the environment thrive in that way. I always say,
right,
we don't have a climate change. Climate is okay, but we have an environmental, a local issue. We are creating or producing or consuming a lot of things and we throw it away and, buying the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
So if we think and we can create a built environment where we do better with less. So for example, there is a great project in Zimbabwe in Africa.
Yeah.
They're creating a big mall, shopping mall, without an HVAC system. So without heating, ventilation, air conditioning system.
It's quite hot over there, I guess.
Yes.
Is it?
It is. And the thing is, they reduce their real estate cost, of course, because you have to create it to build it.
And run it.
Yes. So they can reduce also the prices for the retailers. And they don't have to dig in the ground to get their aluminium or materials. You don't have to do maintenance. You don't have to create everything in the building. But the thing is, they got inspired by the termites.
Oh.
And the termites, they have a termite belt.
Yeah.
And it's always the same degrees when it can be plus 40, but also minus in the area. But the termites, they created a digital twin with AI and blockchain and IoT. They have everything there, right? No, it's just nature.
Yeah.
And they created a smart system where the air can flow.
Yeah.
So they don't have to use all those HVAC system sizzle stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's another way of thinking. So how can we do that? And also, for example, in Korea, they had a big road. They demolished that, creating a river like they did in Utrecht here in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And now there was more flood protection, more biodiversity, more people who are visiting that area, more businesses. So sometimes bringing the nature back can have so much positive impact. And at the end, you know, we also know by research that people getting healthier or stay longer healthier or recover more fast when they have nature around.
Yeah.
So
interesting, because I read about it. I think there were some projects in Europe as well where they had natural airflow between walls in buildings and to basically by nature cool and heat them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what really takes my mind is when you talk about it, is you talked about regeneration. And I think we're used to cradle-to-cradle, recycling kind of principles. But I have the sense that regeneration is something different.
Yeah.
And can you give us some notion of what you're thinking about how the professionals in the built environment could basically contribute to elements of regeneration?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have are there any thoughts or conversations going on in terms of how we could basically materialize on elements of regeneration, you know?
Yeah, there is a movement. It's in the undercurrent. It's very focused on, you know, wooden buildings, for example, and more the eco-villages.
Yeah.
But also self-sustaining, you know, with all vegetables. So they try to create that nature system in that way.
Yeah.
I always say circular is doing less harm. So we do it the same as we did, but then circular.
Yeah.
So we still dig in the ground, but then circular.
Yeah.
And the question is, are we going to create an other pattern, an other system, or are we buying time and change something? So, for example, if we're going to do wind energy, if we put it on the central grid, it can be innovation, but it's still the same system. If we're doing wind energy on houses, on every house in an area where we have a smart grid, then we change the system and also the values, because it's going to decentralized in that way.
Right.
So also the regeneration, we are looking at bioregions, so to say, and we have to look more at nature tech or bio-based materials or biophilic, and think in that way. And technology can help to get more insights. But we also have to aware, and a lot of people don't know that we still have to manage digital. So, for example, at the moment, the CO2 footprint is 7% globally or something like that. And in 2030, it will be 14%.
Right.
So the thing is, what are we going to do with the tech, with digital tech, to make a positive impact so those extra seven
Are being compensated.
Reduced.
In other areas. It's a good point.
And when you look at chips, for example, they are made on the wafer steppers with a gas, which is 17,000 times more polluted than CO2, than the carbon.
Yeah.
So, but most of the time we can't discuss that. But it's more like, are we aware about that? And are we? Can we make that move to be part of nature? And so we can also have other discussions. And it's really change-making, because if you're thinking like nature, so if you ask yourself, what should nature do?
Yeah.
Or how should nature look like when there is a building? In the past, I gave a presentation about what if we plot the human body on a city. So it's the knocking heart. The heart is the city center.
Yeah.
The roads can be, you know, your
veins.
Yeah. And when something is stuck there, you have damage. So also when there is a traffic damage.
Yeah.
Also, something it can influence your organs.
Yeah.
It can. So organs can be the most important parts of city. But it's another way of thinking. So you can also look at the building on another way.
Yeah. But if you look at that kind of thing, then it's you almost look at the city like a body, with its functions, and one of the functions malfunctions, you get a kind of traffic jam or whatever happens. So I have something to think about in this context, you know, because when you look at the future, because you now touch on the point of let's say more hard technologies like digitization, computing and stuff being in the play of property technologies for good. Mm-hmm. Is this, in your view, something that is going to increase? That we will need more of this technology for the aims that you basically are after,
mm-hmm.
or is there, in your view, also an alternative kind of technology, more nature technologies that we're going to deploy in order to regenerate or to? Because I seem to think, although we are in technology, that this is not going to be the full answer to the story of, let's say, reviving this planet, because the news is not very positive. I just read again about the melting ice caps, which is going 60 times as fast as we originally thought in the newspapers yesterday. So there's this growing urgency to do something about it. But it can't just be technology, can it?
Oh, but that's the thing, you know. If we use the digital technology to buy some time, we also have to do other things. So if we break something up down, we also have to build something up. But if we buy some time to build it up, you know, it's not or. And I think, of course, we can use AI, you know, to do something great. But also AI has to learn. At the other hand, there are still some tribes around the world with knowledge more than 1,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 years. And why can't we use that knowledge? There is a great book called Low Tech. And it's they did research low tech, so not high tech, but low tech. And they did research in those tribes, in the original, you know, people there, living there, see how they create their living, their houses, their ways to get food and water and that kind of things. So I think if you look at technology, we can learn from the past, but from those people.
Yeah.
We can also use, you know, AI, but it's also learning from the past, because most of the time it's learning from
history data.
It's the data we already have.
Yeah.
So it's end-to-end. And I think we come from a time where we think on a mechanical way. So we're going to solve all the problems with technology.
Yeah.
But if we're not going to broader that definition of technology and say, hey, nature, we are part of nature. Nature can also help us, because we all know trees are great. Trees reduce heat stress, creating food, shadow, more biodiversity. And it's changing. But the thinking process right now from cities was like, yeah, but if we plant a tree, we have to maintain them, and it gives a lot of waste, and so it's costs, and everything has to reduce. We have to reduce costs. And if we reduce in costs, also in the medical industry, and we're not creating windows because it's fine to have a nice small spot, we can't see nature. It takes more time to recover, and at the end, it's bad for everyone. Yeah, maybe not for the hospital, because they can still make their money. But I think, from an ethical perspective, it's not good.
No, and it's not only ethical. To your point, I think I like the example of the streets and trees in the streets in a city. When you don't do that, you're saving cost as the city. But as you create a less healthy environment, you're increasing cost, but someone else has to pay for that. So it's a cost saving on the city level, but not on societal level. And I think that's the kind of thinking, basically, to your point in terms of how our economic systems are being constructed today. As when we talk about cost savings, it's a very private cost saving element with very little thinking of fan out, what's the consequence on other elements of society where the cost is probably going to increase? And is this is the total balance still a positive one, of course, you know?
It's an ethical, governmental, governance challenge, and also another view about, are we shareholder driven?
Yeah.
Or are we stakeholder driven? Are we economic centric? Are we human centric? That's what we have to do everything for the customer, or are we creating a planet centric approach?
Yeah,
and we are part of planet. We are part of planet.
Yeah.
So if you see business as part of society, as part of the environment, it's something else. Then we have business somewhere else is
environment,
the society, and there is also something as environment. And maybe we can do something on the environment, like this, customer responsibility or corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
So we give some charity or something like that. You know, but that's not the case. We really have to approach it on a different way and see it as a whole. And that's also being more regenerative, being part of nature, being connected as people, because we are all dependent. In the past, you know, we needed everybody to survive. And now we are so independent and we take care of everything, or our government will save us.
Yeah.
So, but that's also cracking at the moment.
So to that point, when you look, because I guess you have a kind of global view on the topic. So do you see governmental institutions, governments, or other entities in our social structure? Do you see kind of moving them, that they're moving towards these kinds of connected, let's call it connected thinking? Do you see any movement there, you know? And what's your take?
I see movement, you know, in Europe is moving with a lot of laws and regulations. But still, the carbon is an economic thing, you know, with the carbon tax, with the carbon wall around Europe, with the CBAM. So it's really economy driven. That doesn't mean you can't earn create revenue by doing something good for the planet. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But it's moving there. But the thing is, is it going to sustainability? Is it more, you know, is it more like buying time?
Yeah.
US is moving, but there is also a counter. In Asia and in Africa, the population there will grow in the next years.
Massive, isn't it?
Yeah, so we can still use technology also to if we're going to create cities, to do it more smart and so we reduce the resources, but creating something big better. But there the policies are not that developed. Latin America the same, but when you look at the sustainable development goals, for example, then for example Denmark and the Nordics are scoring very good.
Yeah.
But recently the footprint of Denmark was already gone. So they already, I thought it was the end of March, they already used the planet for Denmark. That's the same with the US and Qatar, you know, that the, so, but then when you look at the world, then countries in Africa and in Asia doing much better.
Right.
When you look at the sustainable development goals, we score great. So there is some sort of disconnection.
Yeah.
And we're going to feel that in a certain way because we are, you know, we got a lot of prosperity in the last years.
Yeah.
But when you have to consume less.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But if you use something and you have to change, you have to transform.
Yeah.
That's always hard.
Yeah.
As a company, as a person.
Sure.
And first of all, you have as a person, you have to transform before you can bring it into the company.
Yeah,
because you can say, we have to go regenerative, but if you don't know what it is or you don't feel it, you probably don't kind of live by it or can't be lead by example or something like that.
To that point of regeneration around building the built environment. So typically, if you're a real estate manager or facility manager and interested in this, and basically, think about, okay, what could we do to do at least some probably minor steps towards a kind of regenerative policy, so to say. What would be your advice? How to take that on? Just start thinking about it. First stage is, of course, getting to know things and getting acquainted or comfortable with the notions behind the whole movement. So I'm just here. I'm actually the guy. You know, I'm asking you actually, okay, what's your advice for me tomorrow?
You know, at least let's have a walk in nature, you know, let's start there. If we are not there, you know, we can't feel it. If we're staying in the building with concrete and steel, you don't feel it. So one, go out, talk with the people already part of that. So go away from your old network because the world is changing. And of course, the network will save you on a certain way. Networks always win, they say.
Yeah.
But if you want to change and if you want to innovate, you have to change network and you have to invest in new connections and also in new. So you have to create new connections. And something else is, if you want to buy something or you want to use something, always ask, is there a product or a service which is doing for good? So for example, they have a good value chain, or you buy a more biophilic, bio-based material, or at least circular, but you know.
Yeah.
And if it's circular, ask them where to go, because with the product when they take it back, because if you have a solar panel, they're probably going to take away some parts, but if the more poisoned part will be through the shredder and somewhere in the sea, we can still discuss it, you know?
Yeah. Is it good enough or not?
So it's really about getting that mindset, going into nature, invest in nature-based solutions. I think that's the first easy step to take.
Actually, to come back to what you just said, you said, well, the network always wins, which is, of course, a famous book as well. Actually, do I read it correctly when I say that PropTech for Good is actually starting this network about regenerative thinking? Is that correct in some way?
Yeah, you know, and I had a lot of discussions about it. I see the current system. I see where we have to bridge, and that's the SDG. So that was the thought.
Yeah.
But of course, I also read about net positive, about regenerative leadership, The Green Swans, great book by John Elkington.
Yeah.
And I see that that will be next. And I don't have all the answers because it's really something in the undercurrent, which is under construction, so to say.
Right.
And when you look at, for example, the three horizons from McKinsey, it's H1, it's the current system. H2, which is H2 minus and H2 plus. And H3. H3 is regeneration in my view,
yeah.
In my vision. And H2 will be the bridge.
Transformation.
The
period,
transformation, the buying the time. So what I try to do is to make that sustainable, to drive that sustainable transition.
Yeah.
So my point on the horizon is a regenerative world.
Yeah.
But I have to focus, so my story is more about H2 plus and H3.
I get it.
But the current system is more in H1 and they protect it.
Yeah.
They are doing innovation, but it's more like something new, so digitalize something which is already exist. And hopefully they can also choose to go more to H2, so it will be more transformative innovation in that
right.
way. So they pave a bit more the way for the regenerative world in the future. And it's a bit complex, but I'm going... you can read something on the website,
yeah.
About it, also to explain, because if you understand it, how was the quote by Johan Cruyff? you understand it when you got it or something like that, you know. if you see it, you can act because yeah. you understand.
Yeah, I get it.
And that's the same as go to nature, buy some field, buy a based solutions or products or services, you know.
Right.
Because then it makes it easier to transform and to make that step.
Right. And the more fundamental the transformation is about, the harder it is to understand what that end situation is actually to be. I think you're taking a very bold standpoint here and a very bold position because you try to basically help people bridge and get that type of understanding. So if people would like to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do so?
The most easy way, of course, is LinkedIn. Menno Lammers is very easy, I think.
PropTech for Good.
You can go to the proptechforgood.com website.
Okay.
Subscribe for the newsletter, you know, because then you can also read something about the solutions, but also some news. And so really planting the seeds, it will help you at least to move further. And of course, download the ebook because it also helps you
get to into the topic.
Yeah. So and of course, I don't want to forget, you know, there are a lot to learn. We have to work together to get things done and to create and to color that picture for the future.
Right.
It's not only me because
I'm
lucky I'm here with you, but it's we have to connect the dots to create that regenerative future.
Now, well, that's a great end to this conversation. Menno, I loved the conversation today. Thank you very much for that. And for all that have been listening in or looking at this, thank you very much for your attention and see you in the next episode again. Thank you.